We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
West Virginia women's soccer coach Nikki Izzo-Brown discusses this Friday's match at Texas Tech. That is coming up right after this.
Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus brings you more than 400 exclusive live events, select conference championship events, coaches' press conferences, and original content. Sign up for Big 12 Now on ESPNplus.com/Big12Now.
Coach, when you finish your game this weekend, you're going to be halfway, more than halfway through the regular season. Does it feel like that already?
No, it's definitely a weird feeling, but you know, we have talked about that, and everything's a little bit different and how you have to develop and, you know, learn lessons well. But yeah, it's definitely a whole different experience, but we're very happy we're playing, and we understand you know, how critical the next five are.
Go ahead, Nick.
Coach, thanks for doing this with us again this week. I know you guys scored off a PK and then had that great play by Lauren for your two goals against Texas, but some of your best chances came when your wingbacks, your fullbacks, got into the attack. Walk me through how you coach players at that position, because they have to be good attackers, good defenders, and have the vision of a midfielder. How do you coach that?
Did you play basketball?
I did play basketball, Coach. Okay. I was a very bad point guard, Coach.
Okay. So you know how, like, you did, like, different line drills where, you know, there's, like, you line them up in four and everyone passes to the next person in line all the way down the court, and then – you know, so we kind of call it patterns of play, and we will do something very typical to that set. You know, it won't be as necessarily as straight, but the girls work on that a lot in our patterns of play and making sure that, you know, we have the ability to get them in and overload.
Go ahead, John.
My question is going to be a lot less technical than what Nick gave you. I can tell you that right now.
I mean, he threw out wingback. I was like, wow.
I know. That's beyond me. You're playing once a week, and I guess you are getting into some kind of a pattern. Has it been good, you know, not having that midweek game, or do you like playing that midweek game before you play a conference game to kind of What's your thoughts on that?
So it is, for a recovery standpoint, playing one game is awesome. I love everything about it. So I do agree that that is the way to go with one game, because the game's so taxing. I mean, the kids are playing on a 80 by 120 yard field, and it's a contact sport, right? It might not be as contact as a hockey or a football, but you know, there's a lot of wear and tear. So I do like this setup with one a weekend, and the recovery piece. So that's good. I miss the non-conference piece, because that was where, you know, we were able to kind of segment our seasons. You know, and I've always been a big believer in going into the, you know, preseason, non-conference season of conference play, and then postseason. So I missed that development piece, but we just had to like inject ourselves quickly and get ready for this conference play.
Real quickly, you could get a ton of information on Texas Tech and prepare all week. Can you over-prepare having all that time to prepare for one opponent a week?
Yeah, I mean, it's like technology. I mean, how much do you need to know? And I think that we all kind of feel like after a while, it's like, okay, my brain cannot handle any more graphs or any more charts or any more this or that. So I do think that keeping a game simple, you know, there's schemes and there's, you know, certain things that Texas Tech is showing us, but you know, you don't want to make it more complicated than what it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nick.
All right, we'll try not to get too technical here. Follow up.
No, I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Mackenzie Ongst, you know, watching her live the other night, she really seemed to help you guys, almost becoming like an extra midfielder at times to build up the attack. How talented is she, and how much has she grown over the past couple of years?
Yeah, I just had her in my office. We were just watching film. You know, that kid is, she is just a student of the game. She's always like, yes, coach, whatever I have to do. You know, she's battled some injuries. The last, you know, she came in with an ACL, and then, you know, she's battled some injuries last year. So her development and what she's been able to do for us is just enhanced our success as a program and as a team. And I'm going to give her all the credit, because, you know, as much information as I'm trying to coach these kids up to know their roles, she's just like a sponge. She's just like, okay, I get this. Can we watch more film? Can I do this? Can I do that? And, you know, she's so coachable. And now we're seeing all that attitude, that winning attitude, that coachability, you know, translates to the field. Like, you're like, oh my God, wait, where did this Kenzie Young come from? She has been a student of the game, and she has created her own tsunami, man. And she brings it.
Back to you, Sam.
Coach, it looks to me, at least from the outside looking in, Jordan Brewster has taken a really important role in your guys' attack. And I'm not trying to draw any direct comparisons, but I always kind of look back on the 2016 team, and I see Kadisha was a wall back there, but not only that, she was able to jumpstart your attacks and get the offense going. Is that kind of the same role that you see Jordan filling?
Right. And it's very interesting, because you're going to see tendencies that Keisha and Jordan both have, and it's hard not to admire that piece of it. And I do believe both of them bring that piece, that can attack out of the back and can generate, you know, that fast, quick play that we're looking for. I call it tempo play. And I do believe Jordan and Gabby, they both bring that out of the back. And to compliment what Jordan's doing, she has been doing that. And hey, there's no higher compliment to give anyone than to Keish, right? We all know she's the best in the business. So I agree with you.
Okay, John, you're next.
I was looking here at the preseason poll. These guys you're playing this weekend were picked to win it, and yet they're near the bottom of the league. What concerns you about this game? I know out there it's usually a tough place to play anyway. What are some of the things that bother you about this game?
You're absolutely right. The parity in this league is it's so tough. And going there, they play on turf. We went to OSU, and we all know COVID is so bizarre. So we go to OSU. It was a sellout crowd. I mean, there's some guy screaming in my ear the whole game, which I loved. I missed it. I mean, this guy was gnawing at me the whole game, right? Then you go to Dick Dolesky, and we don't have anybody, and it's just so funny, so going into Texas Tech, I'm not quite sure what their capacity is, but I'm expecting a circus, and I'm probably going to have some guy screaming in my ear all day, but, so the environment that they have there, it's awesome, and I've missed it, and I love it, so it's going to be a tough environment to go into, but they have Kristen Davis. She is a weapon up top. We know that, Texas Tech is going to be organized. They're going to be gritty. They're going to be hard. Tom's been in the business, if not longer, just as long as myself. So it's going to be a tough atmosphere.
Real quick here. Was the guy screaming at you? Did he have a mask on? And then the other question, on turf, what are some of the challenges with playing on turf?
Listen. COVID safe, man. If he didn't have a mask on, I would have moved his butt out of here. But for sure, I didn't want him, gnawing on me and spitting on me, right? No, they did have masks on, thank God, or I would have been real nervous. Because I am, paranoid. That is part of my coaching now. I bet you next year I'm going to be like, are we being COVID safe? Because it's just part of my platform. Because forget injuries. COVID will wipe us out, right? No, but seriously, what was the question now? And you got me off on a tangent.
Now I got to unmute myself here. The challenges of playing on turf with the ball and the way it bounces.
Yeah, it's different. The ball moves quicker. I think teams that know the bounce, they're going to know the rotation of the ball. You don't want to overthink it, but you guys know, you're playing football and it's a windy day. It alters everything. And it's the same thing, with the surface, because we play on a surface. So we have to be aware of it. We got to have a quick adjustment. So it's always just a little bit different.
Next question is from Carly Nevis. Go ahead, Carly.
Hey, Coach. Staying along the lines of, with Texas Tech, they've played 3 games. They haven't won a game. And if put yourself in their shoes, how hungry would you be to get a win just because, you're halfway through the season and they haven't won a game yet?
Man, did I love to be the underdog. I love that. I loved not winning and loved that motivation, right? And then they got the ninth best team in the country coming to their house. So they have a lot to play for. So I definitely can imagine that the emotion and the intensity is going to be very high. So we definitely have to match that and make sure we control that piece, because we can control our intensity.
Back to you, Nick.
Coach, you mentioned Jordan a little bit ago, Jordan Brewster, and in the past you've referred to her as a gentle giant, but it does definitely seem that she plays with a big-time edge on the field. What is she like as a leader, and how has the rest of your back line kind of followed that lead? Do they bring an extra edge because of Jordan?
Yeah, obviously she's a captain, and how we do that is – the team votes, and they definitely have to have the backing of the staff. But so Jordan definitely has the respect and the support of her teammates, and she's earned that because everybody has to earn a vote. So with that being said, I do think Jordan came in her freshman year and stepped into a very experienced back line, and she had this incredible leadership around her with Esther and Bianca and Vanessa, and I know that that's the type of leader she wants to be as the minutes get higher for a Nicole or a Kenzie or a Gabby. So I think she's had before her great leadership, but I also know her experience emotionally and technically, tactically is really important for her to coach up around her.
Go ahead, Sam.
At halftime, Coach, last week you guys had 61% of the possession, and I would assume that Cliff probably stayed pretty close to that in the second half. You guys are assisting on all your goals. It looks, looking at the numbers, it looks like you guys are possessing the ball very well, at least compared to last season. How do you feel about your guys' ball possession, and what do you think you need to improve?
The thing I love about my job, I absolutely love, it's called job rotation. You know, this is a different team than last year. We were so young last year, and we still are young, heavy at the bottom, right? But with that being said, the experience and the growth and the development that this team has committed itself to is really played to what you're saying. We're able to possess the ball better. We're able to generate the attack, but keep the ball. The one piece we really are hunting for now is the shutouts. And, you know, I know that we're good enough to get them. We just got to finish a game and play 90 minutes and be sharp and keen about it. But we definitely are a different team. And I do think possession-orientated team, and that's one of our strengths right now.
Okay, Coach, a couple of more. Go ahead, Kevin.
Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You mentioned no fans. Any word on your last two games? Are you hopeful? Any hints there? And secondly, looking forward to the spring. I know the NCAA has said we're holding championships, non-conference games or other games up in the air. If you play some of those, do you anticipate that kind of mad scramble like men's and women's basketball is going through right now?
So my hope is, you know, everything's to be announced. I think what's encouraging is that football is opening up. So we'll hopefully get our last two with some fans. I'm not quite sure that'll be the, you know, something administration and my staff will have to communicate about, but that's what I'm hopeful for. So that would be awesome for our fans and also for our team, because I believe we have the best fans in the country. Going into the spring games, it's going to be interesting. You know, these are, like we all say, on charter territory, and how is this all going to work? So I do think it's very encouraging that the NCAA said we're going to have a championship. Obviously, it's less teams. It'll be interesting how it all plays out and how they're going to get these games in and make it as fair as they can. So my hope is, you know, we take this opportunity and we go with it. We make the best spring championship season we can.
Cody Nesper is next. Go ahead, Cody.
Hey, Coach. I just wanted to ask you about Riley Foster. I'm sure you saw she made her debut for Liverpool today and got the win. So I was wondering your thoughts on, you know, her as a player and kind of what it means for the program to have somebody like that playing professionally now.
Did she get a shutout?
No, one goal.
What was the score, 2-1?
3-1.
Okay. Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, as we know, that's an incredible stage for Riley to perform in, and we are so proud of her, and I'm so proud of her. I mean, I know how hard she's worked to get to that level of Liverpool, and it's incredible that not only do we have players playing in our league in the U.S., but now we have one of the best playing in England, playing in France, you know, playing in Spain. It's just incredible for the program that, you know, we can look to O'Reilly and say, hey, you know, in some way we helped you get there, and you're always going to be a Mountaineer and representing.
Okay, John, go ahead and finish this up.
Yeah, last one for me. Going back to the spring, what are you going to play? Like 10 matches, I guess, is what you're going to have left. Are you going to have a conference tournament this year? Is that still to be determined? And then, obviously, your national tournament's in the spring, so these games obviously mean a lot. How do you get from here to there and where you want to be ultimately?
Man, I'm telling you. Okay, so to our conference tournament, we are just kind of, you know, the ADs put it on hold. And as a coaching kind of collectively, we've said, okay, let's see how this plays out. Do we want to play it now or do we want to play it in the spring? So that's kind of the really indifferent piece right now that we don't know. Now, we do have 11 games left to play this spring, and I don't know how that's going to look and how and what we're going to do depending on weather and depending on non-conference schedule. So it will be very interesting. We're kind of taking it day by day, but we know how important our last five games are, but how important these conference games are, because they do matter, and it does line us up for the NCAA tournament and hopefully for the conference tournament. So, you know, all of a sudden it was like a quick shift, like, wait a minute, these games do count, mm-hmm. and coach, get yourself together. It's not it's not spring switching to fall. It's fall is fall, but it's just conference, and then going into the spring counts. So it's been
you could conceivably, let's say you struggle in the fall, you could tweak your schedule to try to make it stronger if you can to help you. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can, I mean, it's crazy.
It's the wild, wild west, and everything goes, I'm telling you, it's like nothing I've ever experienced, and I hope we never experience again. Yeah. That's my hope, but you know, we take it day by day. We can only control right now the games ahead of us and staying safe and healthy. So right now we're going to see that until we get some guidance on what the spring will look like.
Has there been a determination on how many teams are going to make the national tournament? Is that even yes. being discussed?
Yes. What is it? 48? I think it was 48.
They're going to have 48.
Yeah.
Which is less.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, we're talking, what, 376, so only 48 yeah. make it. So it's getting tight. And, Joe, you can correct me on that, but I think it's 48.
I believe you're correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you're going to have, what, a four-month pause, a five-month? What is it going to be, a four-month pause? And so you're going to have to keep your kids, I guess, in reasonable shape to be able to hit the ground running when you start again.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's going to be very interesting, and to balance that out, but have periodization and to make sure you're getting them developed. So it's going to be a very all-in type of commitment from the girls, because, you know, again, you don't want them to get, you know, and again, the teams that aren't playing are still developing, and so are we. We just don't get that break, and how does that break work? So that's where we got to figure that out without putting our kids in a bad position.
Last thing here, does that impact the international and professional seasons or anything like that in the spring? So there's issues there too?
Yeah, you know, typically what we've been doing here is, you know, we're bringing kids in to be pros. So what we try to do is get them out for that January window. And, you know, right now it's really put the kids in a pickle to, you know, do you go pro? Do you, you know, do you stay and have a championship season? So, you know, my best advice is if it means you got to go be a pro, you got to go be a pro and do what's best for you.
And that was West Virginia coach Nikki Izzo-Brown. Thanks for listening.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.